top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Monday, April 22nd, in the headlines. Financial economist and United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine reaffirms the party's decision not to participate in the 2022 general election.
The big station.
Citing unresolved teams flagged by the Caribbean Court of Justice. Barbados Prime Minister Mia Mottley and United Nations Deputy Secretary General Amina Mohamed expresses worries over the challenges SEEDS encounter in debt restructuring while maintaining vital services.
Top of the hour news.
And as jury selection ended for Donald Trump's hush money trial in a downtown Manhattan courthouse on Friday, a man nearby set himself on fire and burnt for several minutes before the fire was extinguished. The news is brought to you complimentary. Rudolph Thomas Enterprises.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fenced pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Financial economist and leader of the United Workers Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, has reiterated the party's rationale for abstaining from participating in the 2022 general elections. He emphasized that despite the potential for the party to secure more constituencies than in past election cycles, their decision was rooted in the belief that the electoral process was marred by unresolved issues highlighted by the Caribbean Court of Justice as teens. Dr. Fontaine stressed that their stance was guided by principles as they viewed the flawed process as obstructing genuine democracy for the people.
We need to remind the Dominican public that our party took a decision to not contest the 2022 elections because the things that were spoken of by the CCJ had not been tackled, it had not been dealt with, and it was just business as usual. And we thought we had to make a very dramatic case. And people said, but why did you not contest? You would have won 6 seats or you'd have won 9 seats. We still would not have won, all right, if we'd only won 9 seats. So this idea that we should have contested because we possibly could have won more than the freezes that we have is not good enough. We stood on principle that the process was flawed, and the CCJ said, neutral look at what was going on, Dominica said, under no circumstances should this country continue to operate that way. And that's the reason why we are continuing the fight for electoral reform. It is now 2 years and counting since this very famous decision or opinion by the CCJ, and we still do not have electoral reforms. And that is what we have been pushing.
Dr. Fontaine restated the United Workers Party demand for electoral reform, specifically focusing on purging the voters list and introducing voter ID cards. He said that the absence of these measures contributed to the victory of the ruling DLP administration in previous election cycles.
What we are asking for is quite simple. We have a voters list that is 74,834 persons, that a population that we all estimate and we believe to be 70,000. If you compare Antigua has close to 100,000 people. Your voters list is 44,000. Okay, so we have 30,000 more persons on our voters list than Antigua, whereas they have 30,000 more people than we have. So something is wrong with this picture. So we want a clean voters list, that's number one. Secondly, we want a voter ID, because the way this government has been able to get away with the cheating and the stealing of the elections is to get people in and then to say that they're this person. I had an agent in one of the villages tell me that this person came in and said, you know, that this is that is there on that list. That, let's say the person's name was James Selle. Yeah. She said, but no, that's not James. I know James. I was in the same class with him. That is not him. And when she challenged him, he just turned and...
And that was United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine, chair of the Caribbean Center for Research on Social Security of the Health Economic Unit at UA St. Augustine Campus, and the deputy governor of the ECCB, Dr. Valda Henry, is spearheading the future for research and amendments to the social security structures in the Caribbean region. Speaking to Q95 FM Radio on April 19th, Dr. Henry said this proactive and necessary initiative puts the Caribbean region next to other established regions with robust social security systems. Dominica's social security system was officially established in 1974.
And the very first social security in the region, I think, was Jamaica in 1960. So they are more than 30 years old. And when they were established, they were already established with like a 30-year horizon, which is deemed to be a generation under the pay-as-you-go basis, on the assumption that the population will continue to increase, and as the social securities arrive at maturity, adjustments would have to be made, whether through their contribution rate, whether through how the benefits are calculated, the adjustment to the ceiling. And in Dominica, we have seen that, because we did the reform in 2007, and Dominica reform was deemed to be one of the best reforms and deemed to be a benchmark for reforms. And we felt that, so we now have other social security contemplating reforms. Some of them have actually started. Some of them are now beginning to engage the public. So the Social Security of St. Kitts and Nevis began discussions with the public, sensitizing the public sometime last year. The same thing for the NIS in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Antigua and Barbuda. And we felt it was truly important to provide support for social securities and to have the research agenda focusing a lot on our Caribbean region. Because if you do a scan for the research on social security, you'll see a lot of written research on Latin America, the developed world. And while the Caribbean is often grouped with Latin America and the Caribbean, there is little of that research focusing on the Caribbean itself. And we felt that there was a need to now tell our own story, to help to guide and to facilitate a social security system that is relevant for the Caribbean.
Chair of the Caribbean Center for Research on Social Security of Health Economic Unit at UE St. Augustine Campus, Dr. Valda Henry. In a bid to boost technological resources for students, the National Telecommunications Regulatory Commission, NTRC, provided 65 new computers to the Dominica State College. Officer in charge at the Dominica State College, Trudy Christian, expressed heartfelt appreciation to the NTRC for their donation. Christian emphasized the importance of keeping pace with rapid technological advancements to ensure students are equipped to compete on a global scale. She underscored the significance of having sufficient learning resources related to technology to enable students to excel academically and professionally in today's interconnected world.
The vision here at the Dominica State College is to be a student-centered, dynamic, and innovative, world-class, multi-campus college which promotes excellence in teaching and learning, serving diverse communities, and producing lifelong learners who can compete globally. Quite a complex vision, but in the current fast-paced environment where there is an acceleration in technological advancements, the Dominica State College really needs to be able to cater to student needs and enable them to compete globally by ensuring ensuring that our learning resources as it relates to technology are adequate. And it was in this vein that the Dean of Academic Affairs, Dr. Hermansia Eugene Zamo, who unfortunately is not present with us this morning, but from Academic Affairs, Mr. Lloyd is present with us. Dr. Eugene Zamo proposed the implementation of an interdisciplinary, entrepreneurial, and innovation hub at the DSC. So Dr. Zamo enlisted the assistance of the NTRC and has very consistent partners of the Dominica State College on matters such as these. As the old saying goes, once she approached, it was history. The rest was history.
Trudy Christian, officer in charge at the Dominica State College. Meantime, the rector of the NTRC, Craig Nasty, underscores the importance of equipping educational institutions with essential resources in a swiftly evolving technological landscape. Nasty emphasizes that in a world increasingly shaped by technology, it is crucial for schools to provide students with the tools they need to navigate both the challenges and opportunities that await them.
Today we are here to officially hand over state-of-the-art computers. I think they spec to the tune of very upgraded GPUs for you to do very complex mathematical calculations, run impressive simulations, use algorithms like A-star algorithms, deep search and stuff to create more urban transportation systems that would better benefit the community and ensure that Dominica can be transformed to the next state of digital development, right? In our rapidly evolving world where technology permeates, and I'm digressing from ChatGPT a little bit, because it is imperative that educational institutions are equipped with the necessary resources to prepare students for the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead. And we share that sentiment very seriously. And we recognize also that the field of artificial intelligence is the new emerging paradigm shift that's taking the world by storm. And we have things like large language models, which I'm sure that your capable teachers will help you all learn to design and train, so we can basically address a lot of the inefficiencies that we have ingrained in our institution. And also use as tools that will help with resource assurance, revenue assurance, and ensure that it minimizes malfeasance and all sorts of egregious things that might be taking place in industries, in the states, in countries. So with these tools, we expect you to make Dominica a better place.
And that was National Telecommunications Regulatory Commission NTRC Director Craig Nasty. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit met with Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić in Belgrade last week to discuss development of bilateral relations in areas of mutual interest, economic cooperation, and geopolitical and regional affairs. According to Belgrade, the Tanjung News Agency, the Serbian leader also invited the Commonwealth of Dominica to Expo 2027 and thanked the country for supporting Serbia's successful bid to host the prestigious event. President Vučić said that the two weak countries will continue to develop overall cooperation in all areas of mutual interest, both with the Commonwealth of Dominica and within regional organizations in the Western Hemisphere in which Serbia has observer status. Mr. Skerrit also met with Speaker of the National Assembly of the Republic of Serbia, Ana Brnabic. He is in the region after attending the Oceans, Our Oceans Conference, which ended in Athens, Greece on April 17, 2024, where he also met with His Serene Highness Prince Albert II of Monaco on the margins of the Athens Conference in Greece. On April 19, 2024, six organizations received grant funding up to $250,000 by the Enhancing Direct Access Project in Dominica for community adaptation projects. The Green Environment Fund and the GCF guidelines were used during the selection process. They are: the St. Peter's Fisheries Cooperative in Biosch received $310,500. The Southeast Emergency Response Team, in collaboration with the Lapland Catholic Church, received $282,261. The Salisbury First Baptist Church and Gospel Hall received $403,230. The Girardel Eggleston Consumer Cooperative received $241,948. The Monrad Church Development Committee received $456,994. And the Atkinson Disaster Committee received $295,702. Green Climate Fund Project Coordinator Hila Kelshall explained that the Enhancing Direct Access EDA project aims to build integrated resilience of individuals and their businesses, communities, and governance structures through responsive grant and loan awarded mechanisms that are transparently managed, for developed, that's dissolved, and decision-making by those affected by climate change. The country spearheaded this initiative are Antigua and Barbuda, Dominica, and Grenada in the Eastern Caribbean.
US dollars, $1.8 million was made available for small adaptation grants. A call for proposal was issued for community adaptation projects of up to US$250,000. They were evaluated using established transparent criteria used by the GEF and the GCF. The selection process was undertaken by the service provider, the National Climate Change Committee, and approved by the Project Management Committee for the EDA project. Disbursements of $1,672,060.40 have been processed to date and reports received. The third disbursement will be processed upon completion of the works by the various organizations, hopefully by the end of June. Six grants were provided to community organizations targeting the strengthening of existing communal and public good building structures, such as shelters and community buildings. The six grantees are St. Peter's Fisheries Cooperative in Biosch, and they received $310,500. Southeast Community Emergency Response Team, in collaboration with the Laplain Catholic Church, received so far $282,261. Salisbury First Baptist Church and Gospel Hall received $403,230. Girardel Eggleston Consumer Cooperative, $241,938. Monrad Church Development Committee, $456,994. Atkinson Disaster Committee, $295,702.
And that was Green Climate Fund Project Coordinator Hilda Kelthal. Under an agreement with the People's Republic of China post-Hurricane Maria, the government of Dominica has received funding for the development and construction of the Goodwill Secondary School. The Chinese government, through its China Age program, agreed to reconstruct six schools in Dominica. The Goodwill Secondary School is currently being reconstructed. Education Minister Octavia Alford says progress is going smoothly, and when completed, she expects great things from the project.
I am very pleased that the progress, we are going on well. I mean, we are moving fast. So far, the foundation for the four-story block for the classrooms, the foundation is almost complete. A 4 feet deep foundation, 4 to 5 feet deep, it's good. And we have, that is the classroom blocks. We have the technical wing. They are working now on the foundation for the technical wing. And soon we'll be moving over to the administrative side. At the rate at which we are going, we may get our school earlier than we intended. But as you know, with Dominica, we have to be looking at June to November and how the weather pattern can cause disruption. But with no disruption, we think that we might be a little more advanced than our date.
Education Minister Octavia Alfred, General Manager of the Dominica Water and Sewage Company, Duasco Bernard Atenaf, is assuring Dominicans that the water quality is safe, and due to efforts by Duasco, a new laboratory testing facility was completed and appropriately equipped, boosting up testing schedules for the staff of Duasco to as much as twice per week moving forward. Atenaf says the Antrim Laboratory Testing Facility will serve all of Dominica.
Some things that were just completed under that project is the new laboratory facilities at Antrim, where we can boost up, improve water testing capabilities and water sampling capabilities, and all with an aim to improve our services to all of Dominica. Yes, the lab is at Antrim, but it serves all of Dominica because we do take weekly samples from all our systems and sometimes twice a week if necessary to take to the lab for testing and to improve whatever, you know, if there's any deficiency. We are well on our way with that, and that should be completed this year as well.
And that was General Manager of the Dominica Water and Sewage Company Limited, Duwasco Bernard Atanoff. In other news, both Prime Minister Mia Mottley and United Nations Deputy Secretary General Amina Mohammed have expressed deep concerns regarding the challenges faced by small island developing states, SEADs, in managing debt restructuring while ensuring essential services. Speaking during a fireside chat at the Global Inclusive Growth Summit held in Washington alongside the annual IMF World Bank Spring Meetings, Mottley highlighted the predominant allocation of international financing for SEADs towards climate change adaptation rather than poverty reduction programs. She emphasized the interconnectedness of climate action with the Sustainable Development Goals SDG, warning that prioritizing saving the planet over safeguarding its people could lead to detrimental consequences. Mottley further elucidated the predicament faced by SEADs, where limited resources force them to choose between investing in climate resilience projects and funding critical sectors like education, healthcare, and crime prevention within a constrained time frame. This, she argued, hinders long-term social investments necessary for prosperity of future generations. Echoing these sentiments, Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations, Amina Mohammed, who chairs the United Nations Sustainable Development Group, underscored the crisis facing climate and developmental agenda. And a man has died after setting himself on fire on Friday outside the New York courthouse where Donald Trump's historic hush money trial was taking place. And just as jury selection wrapped up, but officials said he burned for several hours, in full view of television cameras, was set up outside the courthouse where the first ever criminal trial of a former U.S. president was being held.
As the jury selection process was being finalized in a downtown Manhattan courthouse Friday for Donald Trump's historic hush money trial, a man set himself on fire in a nearby park and burned for several minutes before the flames were eventually extinguished by police and fire department personnel. Officials said the man, who was in his late 30s, survived and was in critical condition at a hospital. Here's New York City Police Department Chief Jeffrey Madry.
He walks to the center of the park. When he's in the park, he starts shuffling around his clothes. He opens up a book bag. From the book bag, he takes numerous pieces of papers, pamphlets out. He throws the pamphlets throughout the park. And then he pulls out a canister and pours some kind of liquid on himself, a liquid we believe is an accelerant, and he lights himself on fire.
The incident was captured by television cameras there for the trial. Reuters has blurred the image as it is disturbing. The NYPD said the man, who they identified as Max Azzarello of St. Augustine, Florida, did not appear to be targeting Trump or others involved in the trial. Here's Deputy Commissioner Tariq Shepard.
We just, right now, labeling it as a sort of a conspiracy theorist, and we're going from there. But the investigation will continue.
One of the pamphlets the man threw into the air included references to, quote, evil billionaires. But portions that were visible to a Reuters witness did not mention Trump. In an online manifesto, a man using the name Max Azzarello said he set himself on fire and apologized to friends, witnesses, and first responders. The post warns of an apocalyptic fascist coup and criticizes cryptocurrency and U.S. politicians, but does not single out Trump in particular. According to a smell of smoke lingered in the plaza shortly after the incident. A smoldering backpack and a gas can were visible at the scene.
And that's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Financial, economist and United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine reaffirms the party's decision not to participate in the 2022 general elections, citing unresolved hints flagged by the Caribbean Court of Justice. Right on. Barbados Prime Minister Mia Motley and United Nations Deputy Secretary General Amina Mohamed expresses worries over the challenges SIDS encounter in debt restructuring while maintaining vital services. And as the jury selection ended for Donald Trump's hush money trial in a downtown Manhattan courthouse on Friday, a man nearby set himself on fire and burnt for several minutes before the fire was extinguished. The news was brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. I've been your presenter, Ferdinand Valmond.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station.